This is very exciting.
We're back, everybody.
We are back.
Welcome back to Mom's Got This, Season 2.
Season 2 on the Lower East Side.
I'm Michelle Park, as you know. The person giggling is...
Stacey Eagle. This has been... We took a
sabbatical.
Hot minute.
Yeah.
Sabbatical. We were very busy this summer. And
what did you do this summer, Stacey?
Oh, my God. What did I do?
Well, I'm sure you did a lot with Dylan.
gosh, I've... launching a lot of campaigns for Boy Meets Girl. Dylan started kindergarten.
How's that?
It's amazing. It's incredible. He runs to school every day, loves it. And it's just embracing it. All new people, some old friends, some new friends, but a lot more new friends, new teachers. And just like navigating that he's a kindergarten.
Yeah, he's like in real school. That's like officially real school.
It's official. It comes home with homework and is starting to read and do math. And it's crazy.
Math. Wow.
Math. And the really cool thing was, he thinks I'm 29. So my mom has always said she's 39 and holding. So now I say I'm 29 and holding. So we were in the car going apple picking and he was like, Mommy, that means you had me at 24 because he just turned 5.
Oh, my gosh.
And he was in the back seat and we were in the front. And I was like...
You're like raising a genius. What?
I hope so. No, just kidding. but yeah, it's been an incredible... This summer has just been wild. A lot's happening this quarter for me and my business. And a lot, you know, watching someone develop into a 5-year-old is pretty amazing. How about you, Michelle?
So the biggest thing that happened to us this summer is we went to London with the girls, which we talked about, I think, at the
yes,
end of last
we did.
Season. It was not as daunting as I thought it would be. It was actually relatively smooth sailing. The
nice.
Girls
the travel?
Loved it. The trip with she was like almost just turned one was terrible. There and back, like truly terrible. She screamed the entire 6-hour flight.
Oh.
But once we were there, like Madeline just took to London, talks about it all the time, wants to go back. She's like, when are we going to Paris? I'm like, can we slow your roll there, kid? Like,
right.
Let's get over this. Let's get through this school year. But
and then we'll go to Paris.
Yeah, let's tape the second season of Mom's Got This first. There's a couple changes for us because we are now with a new production company.
We are.
And they're awesome and they're young and then they're Lower East Side. They're called Stereotype.
They are super young.
And they're super cool. and so we're going to change the way we do our podcast a little bit. You'll still get 4 days a week.
Yes.
But it'll be sometimes a little longer than they used to be. Maybe it'll be a little shorter here and there. But we
did 150 episodes in season one. We interviewed 58 plus moms and one dad. So we learned a lot, and we are so grateful for you listening, being in the top 20s of Kids and Family on iTunes, and grateful for all the coverage. So thank you. So we want to jump into who our season two opener guest is.
Yes, she is the lovely Emily Tisch Sussman. She's the host of Your Primary Podcast.
Yes.
Which if you haven't heard it, you must listen to.
Hi, Emily. You must listen and download. Hi, Emily.
Hey, guys.
Welcome.
Thanks for being in studio with us.
This is a feeling fancy already. This setup is great.
Are you feeling fancy?
Yeah,
I'm
feeling official. Ooh. You guys have headphones, mics. It's real.
You are official. So I remember when we met, we were talking about you starting your primary podcast. So tell us about
what is it? Yeah.
So your primary playlist that's okay.
We both said primary podcast.
Well, and now everybody, when you look it up, it's your primary playlist.
And I actually was looking at the logos before you launched your logo, which I love.
I did. I showed them to you.
You
I was
did.
Glad I got your sign off on that.
I'm like, that's the one.
So your primary playlist is basically trying to answer the question that I feel like a lot of people had and still have, which is looking at the presidential primary and trying to figure out even how to look at it, like how to evaluate it. Like what criteria should I use? So I feel like even when people try to have, you know, read some articles and do a little research and have like an informed decision, they don't know how to contextualize what they read. Like maybe they read something that says like, oh, their position's out of the mainstream. But like, it's really hard to know if your position is out of the mainstream or in the mainstream or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So what we do is that we bring on a policy expert for every episode who goes through like the landscape of ideas. So like, where are we right now on healthcare? Mm-hmm. Where are we on climate? Where are we on the economy? And then talks about like what the range of possible ideas are. And if the Democratic candidates are meeting up to it, if Trump is meeting up to that standard, since they will be facing off in a general election, and kind of puts the candidates along this, the ideological spectrum. So helps us understand from an objective perspective, where do the candidates stand on issues and how does that affect you? And how does it fit into different ideologies?
Are all the people who are coming on, they're women, and are they all Democrats? Or they can, like you said, are can give you an input on both sides of what's happening in the race?
So all of the issue, so all the experts that come on are truly experts. So we have an economist come on to talk about the future of work. We have a doctor come on to talk, who works in healthcare policy, to talk about help the different healthcare policies. I'd say all of them are progressive or left leaning, mm-hmm. but definitely fall on the spectrum and bring as wide ranging
a perspective
as possible. So we had Ambassador Wendy Sherman on, who was the head of policy at the State Department, led the Iran nuclear deal. She talked about foreign policy for us and put that in perspective. And yes, you pointed out my favorite part of the podcast is that all of our experts are women. Yep. And this was just incredibly important to me when we were launching in and thinking about how to set it up and how do we format a podcast, because I've been working in policy and federal policy for the last 15 years. And I felt like I knew all of these incredible women who were the absolute experts on the issue, but they didn't always prioritize themselves in the story about their work. Sure. So it would end up being these dudes who like maybe didn't know as much as they were, but they were the ones that ended up getting all the shine. And so I thought, if I'm going to be creating this platform, I have to be using it to uplift all these incredible women who do this work.
It's amazing.
So
amazing.
You spoke a little bit about the fact that you have been doing something in this world for 15 years. Obviously, we're a mom podcast. So tell us what you have been doing and how motherhood came into play.
Ooh, okay. So I'm a political animal by nature. I worked on a political campaign right out of college and totally caught the bug. I was like, this is the life for me.
Which political campaign was
it? I worked on John Kerry's presidential campaign in Pennsylvania.
Well, talk about a good one to work on.
Well, I'm very proud to say that Pennsylvania was the only swing state that John Kerry won. Obviously, my 22-year-old self really had a huge impact on that one. But I totally caught it. I thought, like, this is the life. I can make an impact this way. I love this work. And it was hard charging and fast paced. And it was constantly changing. And I felt like that was a great fit for me. Yeah. And so I went to law. We did not win that election. So I went to law school after that. And then went straight to work on the Obama campaign right after I graduated.
Nice.
And then chased the dream and moved to Washington and ended up working with an incredible organization representing LGBTQ members of the military. And I got to work on the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which was, even at the time, I knew it would be a career highlight.
Right.
Like to be able to be so close to the community you work with and actually see like a huge change.
Talk about impact. That's impact. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I was so caught in the world. I loved it. And even though I didn't think I was going to stay in Washington forever, it was just so amazing, like to stay and think that you can have real impact. So from there, I became the executive director of the Young Democrats of America during Obama's reelection campaign, trying to keep young people engaged in voting. And I worked on a variety of issues, moving to the largest progressive think tank, the Center for American Progress, where I became a real function expert as opposed to an issue expert. So we had, you know, all these substantive experts in the building. So healthcare experts, climate experts, budget experts. And so they would come to me when they wanted to figure out how to actually put their idea into execution.
Huh.
Oh, that's
so how
interesting
do we
function?
Yes, interesting
function expert
job
that's,
description.
I mean, it seems
yeah.
like that takes you to where your podcast is
yeah,
now,
you're
right?
A,
so you're
yeah.
bringing everybody together and their functions, right?
Does kind of feel like
right.
we've come full circle.
Right.
Like
yeah.
it kind of let us
yeah.
yeah. Yeah, I mean, I definitely didn't know that any of these things were jobs when I started before. Like I didn't know that any of these things were options of jobs. But it's all, I kind of have been open to figuring out where my career leads me, what opportunities lead me. But I've always kept a really strong principle that I will just outwork everyone around me.
It's amazing.
Wow. I will take all the work. I will just, I mean, that I defeated the NRA in the only federal case they lost, the only federal fight they lost in modern history up until this Congress. And we basically just outworked them.
Wow.
Was the way that we did it.
I mean, seriously, when I said, how are we going to announce a movie?
I mean, yeah, what, like how do you describe everything she
right.
does? Yeah.
It's incredible.
Okay, so there's more to the story.
Right, but so this takes me to my mom journey, which finding out that I was pregnant just after I got married was like a real shock to my system. And not...
Like, what was your reaction?
Crying. Like, I was like, my career's over. No. I was like, there's no way that I can do this kind of work and not put every cell of my being into it. And I don't know how to do it. And I just felt like, I felt like my career was over. Like, I felt like I was at the height and I didn't know how I could possibly do it. And I was pretty sick, which did not help. Like, I remember being
the worst.
Oh, like, I remember being at the Iowa caucus in 2016 and not telling anyone I was pregnant and just like lying in the dark next to like a box of pizza. Like, oh. Just like pathetic.
It's like a scene out of House's Cards, not to be that person, but I could 100% see that in my head.
I do feel like Veep would really be a show.
That would be great. That is such a good show, by the way.
So you find out that you're pregnant and then.
So how many months was that into getting married?
We had just gotten back from our honeymoon. We had only been married like maybe 3 months.
Wow. So we've had a lot of women on the podcast who are really scared to let people know they were pregnant, you know, in your careers, both Michelle.
I didn't tell anyone.
Right.
Until I was like 8 months.
Yeah.
And it was very obvious.
So when did you realize that you could still do it?
Well, because you were outworking everybody. So I understand why you were like, how am I going to outwork everybody if I have...
Right, with all the energy that you have.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm still struggling with it, to be honest with you. Like, I kept it quiet for a while, but I couldn't keep it quiet for that long, partly because I was so sick and I couldn't keep working at the same pace.
Right.
So I think that people I managed, I think especially, were starting to internalize me pulling back as me not being happy with them. Mm. And so I felt like I did actually have to tell them, give them an answer. But I mean, I shared my office with someone at that point, and I was lying on my shoe pile every day, like just to close my eyes for a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, I think everyone knows that shoe pile and it's laid on it probably once or twice. But I mean, the on-air part is so real. I started doing TV when I was at the Young Democrats of America, like a talking head on cable news, and I never talked about my pregnancies and I hid them always. And I was on air the day that I went into labor with my first child because I didn't want to have to pull back. I mean, honestly, it's something that I still struggle with, is figuring out what the right balance is that I can still bring enough to a fight without totally diminishing myself to not be available for my kids.
So you have two kids.
How old are they?
So the oldest one was born 5 days after the convention in 2016. So he's a little over 3. And then I was like just getting back to work, getting back into the groove. And it turns out we are the most fertile couple on the planet.
Oh my God, bless and you.
When my son was 9 months, I got pregnant again.
Oh my God. This is a great story because I've heard this story. So you have to share. You were going on a trip with your mom.
Yeah. Right? So I gained a lot of weight in my pregnancies, partly because I was pretty scared and depressed about it. And I like eating a lot.
Well,
so
same. Yeah, I'm there with you.
Pizza, please bring it on.
Well, I just ate a bowl of noodles. So,
So I gained about 80 pounds in my first pregnancy. And my mom was, you know, I had just stopped breastfeeding. And so my mom was being supportive and said, you know, I'll take you on a weight loss trip to this like weight loss place. And so the first day we got there and they did like a medical intake and took my blood and everything like that. And afterwards, they pulled me aside in the hallway.
Oh, God, that's always bad news.
Yeah. And I guess I think they'd said during the screening, is there a chance you could be pregnant? And I was like, no. I mean, I'm maybe no, no. Yeah. And the doctor pulled me aside and said, so it's positive. And I was like, you're positive that I'm not pregnant, because that's what I said.
Oh my God.
And she looked at me like I was crazy. And she was like, positive means that you're pregnant. And I just started crying. So basically all of my pregnancies have been
started with crying. Yeah, okay.
Just a lot of crying. And I was like, you don't understand. Like, I am here to look like myself again.
Yeah.
I have 80 pounds to lose. And she was like, well, I don't know what to tell you. You're pregnant.
Wow.
So then I just proceeded to cry a little bit more and then gain more weight and then had another baby. And
so now the other one is?
So now she's 1.5.
Okay.
With that baby, I gained an additional probably about 20 pounds. In addition to the weight that I didn't lose in the first place. Mm. So in total, I gained almost 100 pounds.
Wow.
I had worked pretty hard to lose most of the weight and you know, been sort of prioritizing that in my life after I stopped breastfeeding with the second baby. And lo and behold, I'm pregnant again.
How are you feeling?
Pretty sick. I will actually tell you that I went back to Des Moines to run a training this summer and was lying in my hotel room next to an empty pocket pizza box and was like, well, here we are again. Is this how we spend Iowa caucuses?
Oh, my congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. I'm actually breaking the news on your podcast,
yes!
by the way.
Exciting. This is a great day.
Oh my God. Three kids under 5 is
oh my God.
Under 3.5. They're going to be 3 kids under 3.5.
Wow. How many months are you?
I'm 6 months pregnant.
Wow.
So I'm due right around the Iowa caucus.
Wait, can we just talk about that? Nothing has slowed down for her. Like,
obviously.
You got so scared that you wouldn't be full speed, but you've just like grown. Like,
but I feel like I'm still not doing enough. Like, I honestly do feel like I'm not doing enough. Like, I love my podcast and I love what we're doing with it. And the intellectual part of my brain says that I wouldn't have these opportunities had I not left the job that I was in because I felt like it wasn't the right fit for where I was in my life anymore. And so, you know, I can say that, I can kind of like talking point that. Like, I can say that.
Right.
But I still feel like I'm never doing enough. Like I should be doing more. Yeah. Like it kind of kills me that I'm not working on a campaign right now. Like I love working on campaigns and I love grueling it out. And my plan had been to go work on the general election for the Democratic nominee. And that's just kind of not an option for me right now.
Why is it not an option?
Pregnant.
Well, I want to understand that for other moms. So why is it because you're pregnant? Is it because you have the two other kids? Like why are there moms who do that? Or
so,
sacrifice their career to go?
It's really interesting. I mean, this is the first, there are a number of people that are working on Democratic campaigns who are either pregnant or having children. I've never seen that before.
Wow. Oh, people are fired up right now, though.
Well, that's a pretty good point.
Yeah.
There was one senior person on Hillary Clinton's campaign who gave birth in the fall. Other than that, and then I thought it was crazy. I mean, it's just the
amount. Because you're on your feet, you're just 24 hours, right?
There's never enough people to do the work on campaigns, and the timeline doesn't stop. So you just have to be working, I mean, you know, 20-hour days, 7 days a week. Like, it never stops. And you have to be making quick, smart decisions, which is hard if your brain is a little bit somewhere else sometimes or you're a little bit overtired. And I just didn't see it. And so I didn't think that it was something that I could do. I mean, I thought this even in 2016, I had been hoping to go on to the presidential campaign, but realized that I couldn't once that I was pregnant. So I really didn't feel like it was an option to have two young kids plus a newborn. But people are doing it and I respect them so much.
But I do think that that issue is an issue that I struggle with a lot. Like I recently got a job offer to take a full-time job for a network. And I, like, it took me 3 weeks to say no because I was like, I don't want to turn this down. I feel like my career has slowly faded in the years that I've had children. Like, I obviously put a stop when I had Madeline. And then I just kind of, like, stopped taking real, like, full-time work. And I was doing things freelance and I was, like, doing stuff here and there. And now I'm at a place where I'm like, I actually have to make a decision, right? Like, I either have to decide I'm going to go back and be full-time and travel if I'm going to be working at a network, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or I have to not do it. And it sucks. That feeling sucks where you're like, I know I could be doing more, and you just have to pick one or the other.
Yeah, I think that my therapy has always been the podcast, because we've had these working moms, some who have three, some who have two, some have one, who are either in the similar boat as you, or they run Macy's or Saks, yeah. You know. So we've heard so many different perspectives of how you navigate and what is good for you. But I think that there's no right answer. That's what I realized from everybody who's been on here, and that we all want to do more. I mean, I'm constantly wanting to do more. And, you know, I would stay at the office until midnight. And now, you know, I leave to relieve our help. And I want to be there with my child at night to read to him as much as I can without events and this and that. But so I think you're always making sacrifices as a parent. And I don't know if there is...
I don't think there's an actual right answer, no. But I do think the one thing that across the board is true is that it sucks.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
and it's hard.
It's just hard for everybody. Yeah, I haven't heard anyone who's like, I have it all. Like, right. You know, like, right. And no, I'm happy all the time. I don't think that exists.
There's the other end of, you know, certain moms who, which is not mom shaming, who can be at a school function every day. Or, and then I also feel guilty not doing all those things too, you know, so there's always something that is give or take.
So now that we've talked about the sucky side, every first episode of the week, we talk about our mom's got this moment, which is a moment where you were like, you know what? I am like a power mom and I've got this. Is there anything like that for you?
I think there's probably like little things.
Yeah.
Like the other day, so my 3-year-old is now out of a crib, gets himself out of bed in the morning. And the other day, he came into my room and he was like, Mommy, I brought my stuffed animals to come sleep with you. And then I'm going to cook you breakfast. And he meant like at his toy kitchen. But I was like, you are just so sweet. Aww. Like, I must have done something good here. Or so you are awesome. All my husband, who's very nice. Like, I don't know. But like, I totally was like, that is so sweet.
That's so awesome.
And then there was a day that started kind of on a downswing, but turned up is that, so my kids are in preschool and we are still kind of figuring out our childcare situation. It's like not perfect. And I was on cable news and it was during the UN General Assembly.
Oh God.
So it was just like a culmination of all these things. So like I dropped my three-year-old off. I put the 1-year-old in the stroller. I walked her down to the news network where my nanny was going to meet me. But like, I had to keep the 1-year-old during my hair and makeup. She wasn't crying. I felt great about that.
That's awesome. That's new when you're on network.
And I was like, yeah, I got this. And then one of the makeup artists who did not have children started making some like obnoxious comments about like how gross it was that my stroller was there and there were like snacks in it. And I got so upset.
Oh no.
Who says that?
Oh, I was so upset about it.
As your child is in the
But that's just a
stroller.
Weird thing to say.
Totally.
Be better, people. Anyway, go on.
Exactly. Yeah, be better. It really upset me. And then I just kind of was like, you know what? Like, I'm going on air. I have to just put that aside. And I have to be able to focus. And I went on air and I felt like I really killed the segment. And so after that, I was like, you know what? Like I took, and then I was upset again about when I remembered about it. Right. But I was like,
you're like, that man.
Exactly. Yeah. But I felt like I was able to compartmentalize a little and still be on air the way that I wanted to be. And
awesome.
Get around during the UN General Assembly, which is kind of
which
a nightmare in New York.
Impossible.
That
for
in
those
itself,
of you who don't live in New York, when the General Assembly is going on, it takes like an hour to go 4 blocks. If you're in a cab, it's truly like, it's like
just walk,
just gridlock.
Yeah. So we just walked in the stroller and I was like, you know what? These were tough logistics today. Exactly. And I figured it out and nobody had a meltdown, including me.
Right. Exactly. Even with the comment.
That's huge.
There was something I saw on your Insta story. I think you forgot that you had to be on camera for Halloween or something. Maybe I saw it wrong, but there was a Halloween party in the city, but you had to be on camera. That's a mom's got this moment.
That is.
I don't know what happened there, but can you tell us, please?
Yes, totally. So, so I regularly do the long form Saturday or Sunday morning show, like roundtable show, where you're on for an hour on cable news and discuss the news of the day. And for me, this is like a great booking, right? Like most of the time I'm on air and they just yell things at us and then we're off. But so this is a show that I really love to do. I love the host and I want to do it. And so I had agreed to do the show, forgetting that I was supposed to be out in the country with my kids for Halloween. So we went out Friday evening. The network agreed to send a car for me at 4:30 in the morning.
Oh my God.
So they picked me up at 4:30, came back into the city, went on air for an hour. This was two days ago.
Yeah.
And
I thought it was like within that hour, you like realized you had to be on camera.
Oh, that would have been a real schlep.
That would have been insane.
And that has definitely happened before, by the way, where I was like, oh my God. And then I've had to bring my kids to the studio because I have my kids with me.
Amazing.
But so I did the show, came back and met my kids while they were out trick-or-treating. And I was so, I mean, you know, I was a little tired, but I was so happy that I was able to get there and to be able to do both. Yeah.
So just for everyone listening, again, she's doing Emily, you're incredible because you have not slowed down. You're still going to trick or treat. You're going back and forth. I mean, you should be really proud of yourself. So
yeah, but honestly, like when you guys invited, I mean, thanks. But like when you guys invited me on, I was like, Mom's got this. Like I'm a fraud on that show.
We all are.
I do not get this.
Truly, we are all are then. If you're a fraud, we all are.
Yeah. I mean, I have yet to make it through a single parent-teacher meeting without crying. And I think when I walk in, they must just roll their eyes and be like, oh God, she's a basket case.
We have the tissues.